Staffel 2, Folge 21.
Oh, thank you.
Hello, hello, hello. This is season 2, episode 21 of ChrisCast. My name's Chris Abraham. Let's see. 21. Hey Google, how do you say 21 in How do you say 21 in French?
In French, that's 21. Anything else you want me to translate?
No.
Okay, I'll stop translating.
Thank you. So, this is episode 21, and my name's Chris Abraham, and I'm happy to be here. Today's episode is about all the friends I've made based only on wearing a Hill People Gear heavy recon kit bag on my chest, which I these days nickname my Wonder Bra. If you haven't seen what a heavy recon kit bag looks like what camo is this? It's a special type of camo. The camo is called, let's see, it has a name, and thy name is something that is eluding me. The name is la 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 la. I will never know. You will never get it from me. I will find out by the time I come back from my break. But the topic is, over the last 72 hours, or maybe 3 or 4 days, I have made so many friends based on rocking a canvas bag made by the people at Kill People Gear. And it reminds me very clearly of three things. And that's an arbitrary three, but you can always fill out three things. First, I was a very shy only child when I was a kid. And the way I was able to meet people at the disco, at the high school dances that I attended at HSG, at Punahou, at Sacred Heart, at all the other schools, was by, well, first, I was a cute-looking kid, but secondly, nobody knows how to talk to each other. It's totally awkward. So what I would do is I would carry a Gumby doll, a small little rubber and wire posable Gumby doll in my chest pocket, so that if a girl wanted to talk to me, she could use the Gumby doll that I was carrying as an excuse to chat me up. So reminded me of that. Secondly, it reminds me of the dearth of friendships that men of a certain age have, or men in general. Men desperately want to make friends. And thirdly, and even women want to make friends, because I just made a new woman friend too. And finally, people's wives and daughters definitely know that their husbands and dads don't have any friends, and they desperately try to set up what I call play dates with other men. And I have tons of illustration for this right after the break. So come on back after the advertisement or the silly noises. This is episode 21, ChrisCast Season 2. My name's Chris Abraham. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Hey, do you guys remember the Fifth Element? Do you remember the pretty little redhead with the bandage bandeau dress? She would constantly say, multipass, multipass, multipass. Hey, Google, what is the cast of the... Hey, Google, what is the cast of the Fifth Element?
The Fifth Element has a cast of more than 60 actors. Here are the first three: Mila Jovovich, Bruce Willis, and Chris Tucker.
So Mila Jovovich played Lilu. Lilu said multipass, multipass. Anyway, the...
Jovovich returned to acting in 1997 with a lead role in the French science fiction action film The Fifth Element, alongside Bruce Willis and Gary Oldman. This was written and directed by Luc Besson. She portrayed Lilu, an alien who helps to save the planet.
That is Luc Besson. Luc Besson, not Luc Besson. Anyway, she does not know her French accent. It is multicam. So the bag is multicam, and it's about the size of... You have to look it up. I'll have a link in the show notes. And it's huge. I'm a big, ginormous person, but it definitely is what's called a kit bag. It's definitely obviously made by Hill People Gear. And dudes who know, know. And dudes who don't know, and girls who don't know, and women who don't know, know that it looks really military. So it is, I call it my Wonder Bra, because when I wear it, everybody's looking at my breasts, which is to say my kit bag. And unlike the modern world, people are more than willing to tell me how much they like my kit bag / breasts. So, what was it, 4 or 5 days ago, I was sitting there trying to get work done at Idito's Cafe. And it might have to do with Idito's Cafe. I mean, it's called Idito's Cafe and Social House for a reason. So I was there, and... The couple sitting next to me was a woman I found out is named Melody, and her husband, Chad. She is a teacher. He is a nurse. They live in Elko, Nevada, and they are adorable. And Chad noticed my Hill People Gear. He noticed my attaché, which is another entire thing. I think it's in the color manatee, and it is a rarity. And I have that. I use that as the bag within a bag. I have a beautiful leather case made by Jesse Heinrich, and it's completely empty inside, so I need to fill it with something to carry my laptop and so forth. And what I use is what is called the Hill People Gear attaché. And I bought it used off of the Hill People Gear group on Facebook. Hill People Gear Owners Group or whatever. And he noticed that. And so I showed it off to him. No. That was Steve. Steve noticed that later. But I'm getting the story wrong. I think he noticed the Hill People Gear bag or the attaché, the kit bag in Multicom. And he started chatting with me. And then we started chatting about knives and pens and watches and all these dude things that I love talking about. He's not a gun guy, but he's a pen guy and a knife guy and a watch guy and a car guy and all these other things. And so we're chatting, and it's turning into an ephemeral conversation, right? At some point, they're going to be gone. They're live in North Nevada. Sweet couple. Apparently, Melody Spring has a sister named Harmony, or it's the other way around, and they're adorable. And before we leave, his wife is like, get his number, have a play date, get together for dinner. You're going to be here for another week and a half. Like, and she is adorable, and they have an 11-year-old daughter and a 14-year-old daughter, and the 14-year-old daughter is here in D.C. area at a summer camp, a sleepover summer camp at a hotel dedicated 100% to forensics, the study of forensics. So at 14, the girl's a rock star, a very serious girl, I'm told. I didn't get to meet the daughters. The 11-year-old apparently is super durable, which is to say when her parents take her on boring trips to Colonial Williamsburg in the dead of heat in the middle of summer for hours, the 11-year-old doesn't complain, and apparently the 14-year-old complains endlessly. Because she'd rather be in a Ramada Inn conference room learning about ways to discover reasons for perishing in a crime-ridden society. So, the next day, but the day after, 7:30 a.m. Iditos met Chad for coffee. The day after that, so it went so well that he's like, "Hey, let's meet on Sunday." So we met on Saturday morning, and then let's meet on Sunday. So 7:30, we got there. The cafe was not open till 8 a.m. So we sat on the little old men. We sat on the bench outside and chatted until coffee was ready. And then we spent 2.5 hours more just talking about life, man. When they say men can't talk about their lives, like, we talked about our lives. Like, men are willing to talk. Maybe men aren't willing to talk around women. Maybe women have just the wrong perception. But as a Freemason, as a fraternity boy, like, men talk to me. Like, I get information about, like, all kinds of good stuff. So it was really cute. Our first play date, 07:30. Chad brought his, like, collection of pens that are, like, handmade by people he knows in titanium and various forms of, like, different metals and stuff like that. And I thought they were going to be, like, you know, survival or defensive pens, but they're just really beautiful, like, different types of just, what is it called? What is a Bic? A Bic is not a rollerball, but it's a ballpoint. Ballpoint? Hey, Google, what is a ballpoint pen? Hey, Google, wake up. What's a ballpoint pen?
Okay, when for?
No, no. Hey, Google, what is a ballpoint pen?
Sorry, what's the day and time?
No, cancel.
No problem.
Hey, Google,
alarm set.
What is a ballpoint pen?
According to Wikipedia, a ballpoint pen, also known as a biro or ball pen, is a pen that dispenses ink over a metal ball at its point, i.e. over a ballpoint. The metal commonly used is steel, brass, or tungsten carbide.
Oh, blimey, it's a biro! He's got a bunch of biros! I got to see his biros! Anyway, most of the time, he replaces the ballpoint refill with a Fisher anti-gravity pen insert and that kind of deal. Anyway, I showed him my the beautiful Langual French Paisano knife that the beautiful and lovely Betsy bought me à Paris, and so we bonded. We met the next day too, but after on Saturday, after like spending hours together, he heads off to go to the Baltimore Aquarium. I should have warned him that it would be basically a parking lot all the way there, but you learn, you know, I'll tell him next time. Run into this dude, Steve, who notices I have this attaché in manatee gray, and this, and he asks about it, and it turns out that Steve is like trying to retire from the military and is like here at Walter Reed to kind of get diagnostics for, you know, his body being beat up during the military. He's a really cool guy. And we end up chatting from like 10 o'clock in the morning all the way to 2 p.m. He wants my phone number. So now we're in connection on text. So like in the last 3 days, 4 days, I collected a Chad, a Steve, a Cody, and a Star, S-T-A-R-R, and a Rick. So I made uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco amigas, amigos, amigas, amigos y amiga. And it was cool. So, all right. So then I'm sitting with Steve. We're talking. And then this dude named Cody comes in and he's like, I met him a few days before that. And he was reading the Bible and he was really cool. A little bit to the right of Attila the Hun, but a real cool kid. I think he might be in his early to mid 20s. I reckon that Steve might be 35 or 40, maybe 33 to 40. I reckon I'm 51. I reckon that that Chad, who's totally not a Chad, Chad's not a Chad. And by Chad, I mean that whole red pill concept of like Chads being these, you know, these doofus assholes. And not even Steve's a Chad. Steve has every right to be a Chad because he's in the Navy. I'm not a Chad. Anyway, so Cody comes in, joins us. We end up talking till 2:30. Blows my day, but it was exhausting. We talked about, we basically solved all the world's problems. Ended up getting Steve's number, but not Cody. And then today, while I'm sitting with Chad talking about knives and guns and motorcycles and so forth. Oh yeah, Steve had a really cool 2007. Did he say BMW R 1200, 1250 GSA, GS Adventure. So we got to talk about that. Really cool. So I'm collecting cool people. He lives in Virginia Beach, though, so might more be an online buddy. Cool dude, though. And then today, while we're talking about these things, I see a dude across the way who has a Domke bag. So I did the same thing about the Domke bag. And I'm like, hey, Domke bag sighting. And the dude comes over. His name's Rick. And Rick didn't want to be there. Rick didn't want to play this game of making new dude friends. He kind of stood away. Like when we had a place for him to sit and join us, he's like, I sit too much. Kind of standoffish. Kind of didn't trust us. Didn't figure us out. Couldn't figure us out. Was waiting outside for his daughter to go grab her favorite lunch. I don't know what it was, but like her favorite box lunch from Iditos, which is my favorite cafe here in sexy South Arlington, Virginia. And when she comes out and sees that her dad is talking to some dudes, she rushes over just like Melody did and said, Dad, Dad, you made new friends. And she starts such a ham. She starts telling us that she's never met any of her dad's friends and that maybe next Sunday I can go take pictures with him in the park that he took her to instead of her having to go. And she's totally like a stand-up comedian. She's totally a ham and funny. And she's like, you got to get, you know, give Chris your phone number. So she made me take Rick's phone number. And I'm like, hey, I think her name's Ika? Anyway, he's a like middle-aged white dude, and she's this awesome Korean girl, and anyway, and his daughter, and she's like telling me that we got to be buddies, and that she only knows, she never met his friends, and all of his friends are at work, and that, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I know Chad over here because his wife set us up on play dates. It's so funny. So funny. And the barista from Guam named Z, she's thoroughly amused by this because I, you know, tell her I'm self-effacing and I call them, you know, playdates and say that, you know, wives and daughters make playdates with me. And she's in on the joke because she's funny too. And when I see her, I say half a day. Which I don't know if that's the incorrect way of saying aloha in Guamanian, which is not the word for it. Hey, Google, what is the name of the Guamanian language?
The official language of Romania is
Hey,
Romanian.
Google, what is the official language of the country Guam?
The official languages of Guam are Comoro and English.
So Comoro instead of Guamanian. I didn't know that. Thanks, Google. So that's the long and short of it. Totally reminds me so today, after I had my morning play date with Chad, I went in to get some work done, and I got a lot of work done, which I was very happy about. But this beautiful young woman sits next to me, and nobody sits next to each other in this cafe. And she looks like she's in her 20s. She has the audacity to be awesome enough to ask if she could sit. There's like two tops of the comfy chairs, and everybody feels like, you know, like they need to own both chairs. And she's like, may I sit here? She sat down. She literally pulled a library book out of her bag and started reading. And so after about an hour of working, I looked up at her and I asked her about her book. And she's 26. She's dating a 33-year-old dude who she said is middle-aged. But we all know 33 ain't middle-aged. 43 is maybe middle-aged, 53 is definitely middle-aged, 63 is holding on to middle-age, 73 is really gripping onto middle-age. Half your life you're middle-aged, but it's not the half when you're 33. Anyway, she was awesome. We talked about her book. We talked about the TV show Elementary with Lucy Liu, which we found out has a season 7 coming up soon, which will be its final season. And so I'm about to tune back into my work after this lovely conversation, and beautiful young star with two R's asked me for my phone number so we can keep in touch and meet up at the cafe. Apparently she's an only child and we had such a great conversation that even she collected me, and she asked me about my bag. She said, are you in the military? Because of the multicom, Lilu say multicom. And that was cool. I don't think I was hit on. She just wants a chum, like someone who cares about like cool things, like books and Watson and all that kind of stuff. So it's cool to have a bunch of new friends. And I'm hoping, I know that we live in the world now of hot girl summer. Hey, Google, what is hot girl summer?
Playing Megan Thee Stallion, Hot Girl Summer featuring Nicki Minaj and Ty Dolla
$ign. Hey, Google, stop. I don't want to lose my rated G on this episode by getting Nicki and Miss Stallion on my recording for a copyright bang. Anyway, back to this. I'll come back after a break.
Bienvenue dans la saison 2 de l'épisode 21 du casting de Chris.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Here we are. My name is Chris Abraham. This is Chris Cast. It's season 2, episode 21, which is a prime number. And we like prime numbers on the Chris Cast. Everybody should love prime numbers. They're beautiful. And I was talking about meeting awesome people who actually want my number. I had been playing the game of, you know, every conversation is ephemeral. And because it's hot girl summer, I think that there's post-pandemic overflow, right? So apparently, presumably, hot girl summer means that potential sexual partners are going to be like humping it up like crazy. This is going to be like 1969, the summer of love. This is going to be a summer where everybody gets various and sundry sexually transmitted diseases in lieu of novel coronavirus / SARS-CoV-2 or whatever it's called, coronavirus. So hot girl summer means that hot girls and hot boys are going to go ahead and they're going to get theirs and they're going to tear off, let their hair down, and they're going to party. But there's overflow, which is to say everybody is super lonely. Everybody's super hungry for connection. Everybody is looking for their own posse. Lovely Melody, Chad's wife, refers to her tribe of people she's not related to as her clan. Unfortunately, here in Northern Virginia, nobody can refer to anything as clan, so I refer to them as my posse, my found friends, my found family, my tribe, because I can't call them my clan. Everybody would shudder and be appalled. Because I code switch, right? I can't call certain things certain things. Reminds me that when I was a little kid, younger kid from 13 to 18, sometimes I didn't have a posse. I was an only child. I was a Howley, which turns out means that while even if you're a Kama'aina Howley growing up in Hawaii, you are not necessarily invited to all the reindeer games. And I didn't know any better. I was an only child. I didn't know that people were having cookouts and sleepovers and playdates and hangouts and trips to the beach and all kinds of posse type of things. Until I was in my 20s and 30s when I got my own posse in DC, but back in Hawaii, I didn't know any better. So I would oftentimes go to school dances at the various and sundry other schools in the area, and primarily St. Francis, Sacred Hearts, Hawaii School for Girls, maybe Iolani, and definitely Punahou. Didn't have any friends at Iolani. I think Iolani is mostly Japanese kids. And Punahou is mostly Howley kids. And I never went to any public school dances. It was always like girls' school dances, Punahou dances, etc., etc. And I didn't know how to say hello to people. I didn't know how to meet people. So I would go and I had a Gumby. And I had... Hey, Google, what is Gumby's friend horse?
Pokey. According to Wikipedia, Gumby's best friend, an orange pony named Pokey, was introduced during the earliest episodes.
Hey Google, who is Gumby?
According to Wikipedia, Gumby is an American clay animation franchise, centered on the titular green clay humanoid character created and modeled by Art Clokey. The character has been the subject of 2 television series, a feature-length film, and other media.
Thank you.
You got it.
So Gumby was claymation, but when you bought him at a store, he was made of poured rubber. He's green. He's got a blockhead. He's got a happy smile. And in the case of the Gumby and Pokey that I owned, they were made in this rubber, and then they had a wire frame, and that wire frame allowed you to pose them. I might still have my Gumby. So for whatever reason, I had the innovation to decide that if I carried Gumby in my pocket, people would ask me about my Gumby, and they would either deride me and say, "Who's the loser with the Gumby?" Or if they need an excuse to talk to me because they thought I was cute or interesting or new, they could always avoid a feeling of rejection by saying, "Hey, I notice you have a Gumby," or "I notice you have a kit bag from Hill People Gear," or "I notice that you have really bright shoes, like I have super, super, super mega bright salmon pinky Asics Nova Blast shoes that I'm wearing," and people have been commenting on that, and my self-effacing response to that is, because they're not looking at my breasts and I can't say Wonder Bra. And by the way, Steve, when he's wearing his kit bag, he calls it his jog bra. So, great minds think alike. But I always say I wear these bright, fabulous, fluorescent shoes so you don't look up and see how fat I am. That's my self-effacement. And I say it with a big, bright smile so they don't, so they can laugh with me. So that's fun. And it's not hurtful. I mean, I own it. I love it. I think it's funny. It's a pithy thing to say. And it's relatively practiced now. And everybody responds with glee. And that worked. That worked. People would always ask me about the Gumby. They'd want to touch the Gumby and play with the Gumby. And they would run off with the Gumby and then bring the Gumby back. They'd show their friends the Gumby. I think I might have needed to replace the Gumby once or twice. It was my shtick. And while I'm incredibly self-aware and embarrassed to be wearing this super big, stuffed with crap, Multicom Hill People Gear kit bag out and about, it's super convenient. And once you turn 50, you don't care about whether you look like a dork, which is why 50, 60, and 70-somethings always wear those awful New Balance shoes or those awful dad jeans or those awful button-downs, or those awful cargo shorts, or any of those other awful things that completely appall you about your dad. Like, once he hits 45 or 50, like, he doesn't have any shits to give anymore. So he'll wear a Multicom Hill People Gear heavy recon bag and not care if you think it's dorky. Unless, of course, he's trying to cheat on your mom, in which case he's going to look as sexy as possible and spend a lot of time at the gym and smell really good and not have any nose hairs or errant eyebrow hairs. So keep an eye out for your cheating dad. On that note, I think I've run this completely through. I'm really happy with the friends I've got. If it's a self-selecting world, I believe that these are a series of Godwinks. It feels like my own personal Renaissance weekend. It feels like Iditos a movable feast. Iditos is an immovable, movable feast where we have a constant series of salons vis-a-vis Hemingway and Fitzgerald and Gertrude Stein. Génération Perdue. Hey, Google. Hello, Google. Google. Hey, Google. Qu'est-ce que c'est la génération perdue?
Selon Wikipédia, le terme de génération perdue désigne aussi bien une génération sociologique qu'un courant littéraire américain de l'entre-deux-guerres.
Merci beaucoup. Génération perdue. So that was the lost generation of people post-war who moved to France. Americans moved to France. And they started, it was the impetus for Hemingway and his writing, F. Scott Fitzgerald in his writing. Hey, Google, who wrote Ulysses?
James Joyce wrote Ulysses.
James Joyce, Oscar Wilde. Hey, Google, what year was Oscar Wilde writing? Hey, Google.
Here's a summary.
1891 is too early.
I don't know, but I found these results on search.
When I said The Lost Generation, hey Google, what year was The Lost Generation?
According to Wikipedia, the term is used for the generation of young people who came of age at around the time of World War I. Authors William Strauss and Neil Howe define the Lost Generation as the cohort born from 1883 to 1900, who came of age during World War I and the Roaring Twenties.
So I obviously knew, and I forgot for a second, that it wasn't post-World War II, it was post-World War I, because it was the 20s, and it was the... And actually that whole world of writing happened, you know, I mean, Oscar Wilde was in the 1890s, so that entire world of writing. Hey, Google, what year year did James Joyce write? Hey, Google, what years did James Joyce write?
According to Wikipedia, other well-known works are the short story collection Dubliners, 1914, and the novels A Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man and Finnegan's Wake. His other writings include three books of poetry, a play, his published letters and occasional journalism. Joyce was born in Dublin into a middle-class family.
Thank you.
Not a problem.
Middle class, when it comes to English, is actually rather upper class in American parlance. So don't be fooled. So James Joyce was definitely in La Génération Perdue. And hey, Google, when was the Spanish Revolution?
Spanish Revolution of 1936's start date is July 19th, 1936.
Yeah, so that's where Hemingway... Anyway, so my point is... Hey, Google, what is a salon?
Here's the definition of salon. An establishment where a hairdresser...
Hey, Google, what is a literary salon?
According to Wikipedia, a salon is a gathering of people held by an inspiring host. During the gathering, they amuse one another and increase their knowledge through conversation. These gatherings often consciously followed Horace's definition of the aims of poetry, either to please or to educate.
Et voilà! Et voilà! So that's what I've had over the last few days, and it's exhausting for me because I think I'm an overcompensating introvert. Because having that level of conversation with so many new people makes me want to nap. And I did that today. And it was good. And I enjoyed it. So, maybe I can organize a salon at Idito's. I'm not an organizer, damn it. Wish someone else would do it. Maybe I could convince Star, my new friend Star, S-T-A-R-R, to help me organize it. But it will not be, I promise you, a salon will not be, what it won't be is a stupid book club or a stupid political conversation or any of that crap. It will be genteel people having effete conversations about topics of the day, like titanium pens with Fisher refills and the concept of concealed boot carry. Anyway, I think I'm done. I think this is the end of the episode. Thank you so much for being here with me. What is your pokey? What is your Gumby? What is your lore? Do you have a lore? Do you have a lore? Do you have a lore or do you have a lore? Do you have the equivalent of a piece of gear kit, a piece of a garment or a shoe or a beret or a jewelry. that attracts other people to make comments that then enter you into conversation, making new friends, and having spontaneous salon. I really appreciate it. I'll be right back in a second to tell you how you can contact me, although none of you have contacted me. None of you have used any of the contact info I spend reciting in the next section ever to contact me, and I'm rather appalled. I think that there's 11 of you. Wait, let me see. I will tell you how many people are my listeners currently. And also, I have a question. Should I change ChrisCast to Christery? Should I change ChrisCast to Christery? Is Christery a better name for the podcast than ChrisCast? Oh, wow. My estimated audience is 38. Hey, Google, what does 38 mean?
I don't know, but I found these results on search.
Hey, Google, what is the German word for 38?
In German, that's 38.
Ooh.
What else should I translate?
Nothing.
Okay.
Hey,
I'll
Google.
Stop translating.
What's the German word for 21?
In German, that's 21.
21.
What else should I translate?
Nothing.
Sure.
I'll oh, stop Google. Translating. Google, hold on. Let me just. I'll be right back, guys.
Dies ist ChrisCast Staffel 2, Folge 21.
Hey there, welcome back. This is ChrisCast Episode 21, Season 2. My name is Chris Abraham. You can reach me in a number of sundry ways. Chris@abraham.su is my email. ChrisAbraham.com is my website. @ChrisAbraham is my Twitter and my Instagram and my YouTube. And I think Christopher Abraham or Christopher J. Abraham is my TikTok. I believe that linkedin.com/in/ChrisAbraham is my LinkedIn. You can find me on Google, youtube.com/ChrisAbraham. You can find me anchor.fm/ChrisAbraham. You can search for ChrisCast anywhere and come up with this a podcast. If you're so inclined or so amused, please go to your podcast app or platform and review and rate me. Thumbs up, stars, 5 stars, and a review. I do not mind if you review me poorly. I am not attached to your conceit of me. You can signal me, or you can WhatsApp me, or you can Telegram me at +1 202 352 5051. If you text me, you need to introduce yourself. If you call me and I don't know you, I will not reply until you leave a message and let me know who you are. If you want to talk to me, you can at calendly.com/ChrisAbraham. And that might be it. Oh, if you are on No Agenda Social or any place on the Fediverse Mastodon, I'm at chris@noagendashow.com. I'm also at chris@garavik.su. My company is gariscorp.com. I would love to hear from you. Go to calendly.com/chrisabraham/15 and we can schedule a how do you do. I'd love to talk to you. And that might be it. As I said, this is episode 21 of season 2 of ChrisCast. My name is Chris Abraham. Mahalo, aloha, ciao, auf Wiedersehen, hasta la próxima, aloha, mahalo.
Bienvenido a ChrisCast, temporada 2, episodio 21.